You know, this morning, the Christian church around the world is celebrating Pentecost. And Pentecost, I guess, would be what we'd call the birthday of the church. And it is intentionally celebrated 50 days after Christ's resurrection, or the holiday we call Easter. Now, one of the many significant truths about Pentecost is this. It is the fulfillment of the prophecy found in the book of Joel. And in my personal opinion, which you didn't ask for, but I'll share with you anyway, I think Pentecost Sunday should be as big of a day in the life of the church as is Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. Now, to help us to have a greater understanding of why Pentecost is so important, I need to share with you a little bit of history, church history, if you will, to help set the tone for our sermon time. So I want to ask you to please follow closely along with me for the next few minutes. In my sermon preparation for this Sunday morning Pentecost sermon, I studied the Jewish heritage part of the Christian faith. And when studying that, I discovered and want to share with you that the festival of Pentecost followed Passover by 7 complete weeks and 1 day. Now, that makes the sum of 50, and many theologians tie Pentecost to the Old Testament's reference of the year of Jubilee because of the number 50. Now, understanding that, let's dig just a little bit deeper. You see, every 7 years, the Israelites were to give the land a complete rest, or a Sabbath, if you will, by not planting any crops and only living on the provisions that God would give them. And God promised to provide for them if they would follow this pattern. Jubilee was also a physical celebration that was to happen every 50 years instead of 50 days. And this celebration extended physical freedom to some of God's people, but it also brought about discomfort and inconvenience to others. Now, to try to wrap this up in a neat little ball, there's only one term I can think of that would help you understand what the year of Jubilee was actually supposed to look like. And that term is not something that's very popular within the United States. The way I would describe the year of Jubilee would be a redistribution of wealth. Now, before you tune me out, I want to encourage you to go to Leviticus chapter 25 and read about this for yourself. But there is a catch that I'm trying to get us to understand. And that catch is this. The Jewish people were very faithful to always keep Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost, because it was a festival expressing thankfulness to God for the early harvest and thanks unto God for the harvest that was to come in the fall. But God told Israel that if they failed to keep the 7-year sabbatical, that they would be expelled from the land of milk and honey, and the non-Jewish people, we'll call them Gentiles, would enjoy all that was intended for God's chosen people. Now, if you've studied the Old Testament any at all, you know that this physically occurred numerous times throughout the history of Israel. And I find it very interesting that nowhere is it recorded in Scripture that the Jews ever acknowledged, celebrated, or actually practiced the year of Jubilee. And because of these actions, Israel was eventually removed permanently from the promised land, and the Gentiles are the ones who reaped the richness of the soil of the promised land. Now, we're about to read an account on Pentecost that is found in Acts chapter 2. And I think what we're going to see is we're going to see the same truth that I just shared with you about in history of the Jewish faith being played out in these scriptures before our very eyes on that Pentecost day. You see, instead of the Israelites bringing about influence and growth for the kingdom of God, They lost something that wasn't physical like land, but a spiritual blessing because of their continuous procrastination about embracing Jesus Christ and bringing the kingdom of God to the reality of all the people that surround them. You know, the Spirit of God was ever present with the Jews throughout all of their history. But now we're fixing to see that it's going to be poured out upon the Gentiles so that all people, all of humanity, may experience the restoration and the mercy of our Lord. So let's look at these scriptures from Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read the first 11 verses from that chapter. Verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.'" In our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church, once the scripture is read, we always conclude by saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God." And everyone responds, Thanks be to God. Would you join me again in a short prayer, please? God, we just ask that you will open our spiritual eyes this morning to show us the glimpses of your glory. Help us to see all that you long to do in us and through us as we expand upon this passage of scriptures. This I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever kicked yourself in the seat of the pants because you missed a golden opportunity? I mean, maybe it was an opportunity to make a positive difference in someone's life, or maybe it was an opportunity to land that certain job that you wanted to have. Or maybe it was an opportunity to bless someone who was hurting. You know I've missed several opportunities to witness to a friend about the significance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think we can all, being honest with ourselves, can relate to what I'm trying to talk about this morning. Because we've all missed opportunities that we wish we had another shot at. Now, as the disciples stood on this Pentecost Sunday in our reading, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and communicated the good news of Jesus Christ, I can only imagine that many of the Jewish religious leaders were realizing the golden opportunity that they had missed to bring about growth and influence for the kingdom of God. Now, I say this because if we jump to the end of this chapter, we read in the verses from verse 42 through 47 saying that those who heard the message on Pentecost devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Scripture goes on to say that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mean, there was obviously a movement going on in a way that history had never seen before and the Jews had never seen before. You know, I don't know about you, friend, but I don't want to miss one opportunity to positively impact the life of an individual. I don't want to miss one opportunity to positively impact the kingdom of God. But to do this, it will demand of us to focus on the present, current reality with renewed purpose and passion. I mean, it reminds me of an old sermon illustration about a shoe salesman who went to Africa. The story goes like this. He was there for 2 weeks, and he wrote his company a letter saying, "Please bring me home. Nobody wears shoes over here." Well, the company brought the man home, and they sent another salesman in his place. And in a couple of weeks, he wrote a letter to the company saying, "Please send all the shoes you have, because nobody here wears shoes." You see the difference? This is what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and be the lens through which we see and look at life. Now listen, I'm just as sick and tired of hearing about the coronavirus as anybody is. Likewise, I'm overly concerned that the worst is yet to come. And then we hear all weekend, about these lawless acts that are being done not only by the law, but by those who oppose the law. And to top that off, two publications, one called Barna Group and the other called The Economist, are proclaiming that 1 in 5 churches and 1 out of every 3 mainline churches will close forever in the next 18 months. I mean, listen, friends, this is all so unsettling. But I'd be remiss this morning if I did not say on this Pentecost Sunday that our God is up to something. We Christians must not miss that God is speaking and working despite this global nightmare we found ourselves in. And I warn you, if we're not careful, we will miss the opportunity God is extending to us to be agents of hope and healing to help our world experience the gift and wholeness of salvation. You know, I want to remind you that our God is a God of the unusual. When we read the Bible, we see that God does things differently than we expect. Yet, within those experiences, we see that our Creator is a God of great opportunities. And when we embrace those opportunities, we have experiences that are unexplainable, experiences that create miracles within our midst. And to prove my point, when worship is over here in a few minutes, I want to encourage you to open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 2 and read verses 14 through 41. And if you do, you will see that the Peter that you read about in Acts will seem vastly different from the Peter of the Gospels. You will see that the Holy Spirit refined and honed his good qualities and pared away the bad. Now, the courage to speak out remained, but the words spoken are no longer impetuous and without thought, but cognate, considered, and wise. And yet, he was still Peter. I mean, the Holy Spirit did not destroy his essential self and replace it with something new and alien. His basic personality remained the same, but he had been refined and strengthened so that he became closer, not only to what God wanted him to be, but closer also to what he himself wanted to be. And while the people who were present witnessed a miracle, Peter experienced his own personal jubilee. All because an opportunity was not wasted, all because an opportunity was not missed. And I want you to know, friends, that can be true for me and you. So hear me, friend. Opportunities that come from God are wrapped in unusual circumstances. Mine and your divine destinies are before us, not behind us. I mean, COVID-19 may have changed the way that we practice fellowship, but it has not negated God's opportunities that are all around us. As the body of Christ, we, like the apostles in our reading, are charged with the duty of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. All of us are ordained through our baptism to do whatever it takes to make disciples. It's up to you and I to bring today's world this wonderful, glorious gospel of love, salvation, and redemption. You and I are part of an evangelistic community that has been given a mission and a message that has the power to change the world. But if we neglect our opportunity, we rob ourselves and the generations that follow behind us of the joy of salvation and the experience of miracles. So let me ask you something, friend. What opportunity lies in front of you at this very moment that makes you nervous, maybe scared, feeling weak, or even faithless? Whatever that is, I want to encourage you to embrace that opportunity. Because you're right where you need to be to see God's majesty and mystery work before your very eyes. And I say this with confidence this morning because Pentecost reminds us that when we embrace God's opportunities, the results are always wonderful. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.